Palm Sunday, also the beginning of the Passion of Christ. It's always a pull for preachers to know which one to emphasize on this day. Do we celebrate the parade of Jesus into the city, or do we begin the darkness of Holy Week? Or do we do what we do most of the time, and we start the day off celebratory, and we turn to dark in the middle of the service? I want us to look mostly today at the celebration that we read about in Matthew. The other Gospels also talk about this day, but today our lectionary is from Matthew. This week is Holy Week. And sometimes in clergy circles we talk about this being the hardest week of the year. Not because we can't decide what to preach today, because it's a hard week to walk through. It's hard to understand the joy one week and then the immediate turn to the walk to the cross and the death and then the joy again next Sunday. It's a roller coaster of emotions. I must admit, for some people it's really pretty easy. If you are a CEO and you come to church on Christmas and Easter only, then it's pretty easy. Celebration, celebration. It's all good. Or perhaps you come to church pretty regularly, but you don't want to deal with all that hard stuff, so we kind of ignore Holy Week and we do Palm Sunday, Easter again, win-win. But that's not the honesty of Holy Week. If we're going to walk this journey with Christ, then we have to walk the journey. We can't be there at the beginning and then detour around and show up at the end. I've shared with you before that one of my all-time favorite Christmas movies, which maybe doesn't make sense today, but is Miracle on 34th Street. In the show, Doris Walker works for Macy's department store, and one of her duties is to oversee the Thanksgiving Day parade. All of the struggles of the morning are solved, and finally the parade has begun, and she said, "I'm going home to take it easy." And she goes home, and she totally misses the parade. Well, she knows what's in the parade. She put it all together. She's worked on it for weeks. She doesn't bother to see the parade. She just lets the real event pass her by. We come to this moment today with much work to do this week. We've prepared all year. We've celebrated the birth of Christ. We know what is to come. We've read the stories. We've seen the movie. But we can't miss the importance of the journey. Jesus entering into Jerusalem. Now, I'm going to admit to you that I think Jerusalem has gotten kind of a bad rap over the years. Centuries, actually. For centuries, it's been represented as the most fickle of cities. One day, they're hailing Jesus as the Messiah, and a few days later, they're yelling, "Crucify him." What could change the crowd so quickly? Really, I guess I should speak for myself, but I'd say we've not looked closely enough at this event to really clarify what's going on. It's likely that the adoring, welcoming crowd that morning is the crowd of those that have been following Jesus from as far back as Galilee. If we read just a little earlier in Matthew, we see that Jesus has healed some blind men, and they are joining in the crowd. And all of these people have been following Jesus, and the crowd has gotten bigger and bigger and bigger. And now he's ready to enter into Jerusalem. These are not the people of the city of Jerusalem. These are the crowds that have been following Jesus. And these are the people who will begin yelling, "Hosanna! Hosanna!" Hosanna is one of those rare Aramaic words that we find in the gospel. Actually in Matthew, Mark, and John, but not in Luke. Only in connection with Jesus' procession into Jerusalem do we see this word. And it's an exclamation of praise that literally means save or help us. Help us, we pray. So here are the followers of Jesus yelling, "Save us, help us," as this man who they've come to know as Savior, who they've come to see healing the blind, raising Lazarus. The people inside the city don't know Jesus. Matthew tells us in the scripture, they don't understand what is happening. Who is this that all of the cheering and yelling, who is this all about? Marcus Borg and John Dominic Crossan, in their book entitled The Last Week, which some of you have studied together, portray a picture of us, for us, of two processions. The one of Jesus entering on one side of the city, riding on this donkey. The followers yelling, "Hosanna, save us!" And on the other side of the city, entering Pontius Pilate, entering on a huge war horse, with the imperial cavalry and the soldiers following him. He's risen in for the maintenance of law and order during what could be potentially crazy time of Passover. And while there's no evidence to prove that both Jesus and Pilate entered the city at the same time, I like the picture. Because you see why the people are confused. What is to be believed? What's going on? All this craziness. The traffic jams are terrible. The noise is unbelievable. What is going on? On the one hand, this bigger-than-life ruler on a war horse coming in to bring order. On the other hand, a man riding on a donkey that people are calling Messiah and pleading for him to save them. Is it any wonder that many of those following Jesus now suddenly find themselves frightened? What do we do now? We understand that the prophets told us the Messiah would come to bring peace to the nations, and so maybe he won't come on a war horse, but a donkey? They want to follow and they want to understand, but it's so confusing. So many of them begin to hide and return home. Even Peter denies knowing Jesus. It's not safe. And so those in Jerusalem who really don't know what's happening turn on Jesus and want to end the confusion. I wonder how often we do the same thing. How often we know Jesus. How often we've seen Him work in our lives. We felt His love and His forgiveness. We know what it means to be a child of God. I mean, I can't remember a time when I didn't know about Jesus. And we're leading the parade and we're saying, "Go, Jesus." And we expect all of those outside the sanctuary and outside the church to see this parade that we're on and as we call it, the church. And we expect them to jump on our parade. And we're puzzled when they act like the people in Jerusalem who haven't seen what Jesus can do. They haven't seen the miracles. They haven't felt the love. They haven't been forgiven. And rather than take the time and the risk of sharing Jesus with them, we run in here and hide and say, "Not today." They can figure this out for themselves. They can see how wonderful we are. And off they go, pursuing the big leader on the war horse, keeping law and order instead of the very essence of peace, riding in on a donkey. How often do we, like Doris Walker, get so caught up in organizing the parade that we lose sight of what the parade really brings? We get so busy with the triumphal entry. What are we going to serve for Easter lunch? What are we going to wear to church on Easter Sunday? How do we decorate the sanctuary? And we get so caught up that we don't even notice that Jesus enters humbly on a donkey and says, "Here I am, ready and willing, God, to do whatever you ask of me." I'm sure there are times when Jesus wanted to run and hide. Just like those followers welcoming him into the city, "God, if this cup can pass by me." But that's not what happened, is it? Jesus stayed on that donkey, and Jesus rode into that city knowing what the outcome would be. Ellen, a young Christian woman, is diagnosed with an aggressive form of incurable cancer. As she came to terms with dying, she decided to write down the lessons she was learning. Early on, Ellen had focused on praying for a cure. But as she progressed, she expressed her gratitude for God's presence. And her advice was this: develop clear intentions of what you want out of life, but don't be attached to the outcome. We think we know what we're going to do in every situation, don't we? We certainly think we know what we want to do. And we say to ourselves, "I would never turn and run. I would never hide from Christ's love. I want everyone to know Jesus." Even Peter said, "I will die for you, but I won't betray you." But we get busy And we run right past the person in need. And we find friends who reach out and we don't have time for them. And we become frightened. What if they don't like what I have to say? What if they don't want to be around me if they know? Until we're there, we don't know what's going to happen. We've never been face to face with Pilate and be asked, "What would you have me do?" But Jesus knew. He knew when he rode in that day on that small donkey. He knew when he heard the cries of Hosanna that they would soon turn to crucify him. He knew that many of the faces that followed him that last while would run and hide. He knew what was ahead of him. And rather than holding on to that human mind and body and what it was saying for him to do, as it was saying, defend yourself, fight this, protect yourself, try and stay here, there's more work for you to do. Don't go into that city. Instead, he let go of all he wanted. And he grasped the outcome that God had planned for him. He allowed God to use him, and he knew that road was not going to be an easy road. This week, as we walk this journey with Christ, as you leave today, as we've done the last few years, there is a nail in a basket for you to take with you this week. It's not as large a nail as they used that week, but it is a remembrance for you to carry all week. Carry it in your pocket or in your purse or lay it on your desk or next to your bed. But hold it several times each day. Feel the coldness. Think about that feeling of wanting to run and needing to stay. Think about this nail that could be used to build something amazing or that can be used to crucify an innocent man. Spend this week with Jesus, not running and hiding, but letting go of your fear and standing on the road with your Savior. And Friday, as we gather together, and walk the stations of the cross together. At the end of that service, we will lay our nail at the foot of the cross. And remember that Jesus rode that donkey that day and walked into Jerusalem willingly for me and for each one of you. Amen and amen.